The apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." The Lord replied, "If you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you would say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it would obey you. Who among you would say to your servant who has just come in from plowing or tending sheep in the field, 'Come here immediately and take your place at table'? Would he not rather say to him, 'Prepare something for me to eat. Put on your apron and wait on me while I eat and drink. You may eat and drink when I'm finished.' Is he grateful to that servant because he did what was commanded? So should it be with you. When you have done all you have been commanded, say, 'We are unprofitable servants. We have done what we are obliged to do.'" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
I'd like to preach a little bit and help you value and appreciate the virtue, that power that we've been given, St. Paul refers to, of perseverance, of kind of grit, which was popular a couple of years back with that book, like the capacity to stick to and stick with the good through challenging circumstances. We'll do it through the prism of Habakkuk's first reading, a little bit with the encouragement of Paul in his letter to Timothy, a bishop, and encouraging the lead, and then also see how it applies to the gospel. So the setup for Habakkuk, sometimes when we read the readings, we don't get like the two voices. So we have two voices here, Habakkuk, his prayer to God. You almost get a window into his dialogue with the Lord, and then the Lord's answer to him. And he's in a challenging situation. We know the story of Israel, and it's in a time when they're besieged by their enemies and sacked and been carted off. And he says, "How long, O Lord? I cry for help, but you don't listen." And he's asking, like, "God, violence, like, come to our aid, conquer our enemies, but you don't intervene. And like, why do you let me see this ruin continuously, right? Why am I forced to watch misery? Why must I look at misery? Right? It's just, I'm surrounded by destruction and violence, right? There's strife and clamorous discord." Right? That's his attitude. Like, "Lord, why aren't you answering, fixing this situation, being who you said you are, good and powerful, our defender?" And then you get the Lord's answer. And I love it. And I think it's good advice for us. He says, "Write down the vision clearly so it can be read, so that one can read it readily." Because that vision still has its time. Just because you don't see it now doesn't mean it's not true. For the vision still, press on to fulfillment. It will not disappoint. And if it delays, I get it. It's delayed. Wait for it. It's going to come. It's not going to be late. And I love this line. The rash one has no integrity. It's like almost a phrase you could put, like the one who's rash, who reacts quickly, who lets their emotions override their reason and kind of like, "I got to do something," and is rash, makes quick decisions, uncalculated, doesn't reflect, doesn't take in the big picture, doesn't be guided by faith. They rashly make, they don't have any integrity, like that capacity to put together, integrate, be integral, the different realities of their life into a solid one. That regardless of the circumstances, their person, in Spanish has a great phrase, de una pieza, one solid piece, right? But the just one, because of his faith, shall live. Like with that faith, persevere, you live, right? When you're just, you give each its value, right? Don't overvalue the challenging moments. Don't undervalue God's power to bring about the vision. And then St. Paul, writing to his bishop, young bishop Timothy, is encouraging him in his leadership, right? Oftentimes when you're at the top, when you're the one in charge, we always talk, "Well, if I were in charge," right? Parents know this, like, yeah. It's challenging. It's lonely at the top is another phrase, right? When you're up there and persevering and leading and people aren't convinced, they don't see the vision you see, they don't understand the big picture that you see, and you're calling them towards, and there's strife, there's division, there's disagreement, right? And he's telling him, he's kind of reminding him of the vision. But I remind you, stir into flame. Don't forget. Bring to your mind. Let it burn within you the gift of God that you have. Like, don't forget, you've got a gift. You received it through the imposition of my hands when I made you a bishop. For God didn't give you a spirit of cowardice. You can't be a coward and lead. I gave you a gift. You received the gift of power. Not a power of domination, but a power to remain integral, not rash, solid, of love, self-control. Control your power. You got to be self-control, love. That's a power, that meekness, that strength under stress. Don't be ashamed of your testimony to the Lord, right? Because we can feel ashamed when everything's going bad and looking around, it's like, where are you, Lord? And I trust the vision, being faithful, and patient, just, and faith-filled. People look at you like, I don't know if you're, wake up to reality, It takes a certain, perseverance to not be a coward and not to be ashamed and say, I'm just not going to go unnoticed. No. Trust the Lord, right? Take it as your norm, like those sound words that you heard from me. Like, hold on to, make that your rule, the word of God, make that the rule. And in faith and love, you're in Christ. I feel like I'm just repeating the gospel. I've heard people criticize how you just repeat, not me, but in general, you just repeat the scripture. It's like, slowing it down and thinking of what does this really mean for me is sometimes so valuable. And now we get the gospel. And I think this is the best way to understand these two. Like, the apostles are also, in a sense, kind of like Habakkuk, increase our faith. We don't know what prompted them to ask for this gift, but probably some resistance, some incongruity, something that wasn't adding up, something that Jesus was revealing to them, like the cross as he's heading towards Jerusalem, or in Luke 17, he's heading towards Jerusalem. He's reminding, the Son of Man's going to suffer, etc. Increase our faith. And Jesus said, if you just got a little faith, you'd do amazing things. You'd be able to even go against nature, challenge nature, bring God's power to bear on the ordinary things. You'd be able to say to a mulberry tree, a strong tree, a tree with great root system, uprooted and planted in the sea. I even like that concept of it. It's a funny example Jesus chooses, like, why that? Knock down a mountain, or you could do some other miraculous natural thing. Why pick a tree being planted in the ocean? What's an environment most inhospitable to a tree? Can you think of another place on planet Earth where trees don't grow? In the ocean, surrounded by salt water, buried where there's no light, bottom of the sea, no oxygen. Like, everything a tree needs to live on, gone. You have faith, you'll be able to do powerful things, but also survive in adverse environments, right? And then Jesus tells this story that can seem a little bit mean to the servant who's worked long and hard, And then he just comes in from a day of work, at least our understanding of a day of work, 9 to 5, finishes the farm work and comes in. You're like, hey, give the guy a break. He's like, no, would you tell him? No. Got to cook now, got to serve me. I'm just going to sit here at a table. Come on, after you've worked all day. We get the impression of kind of a lazy guy who's just hanging around all day, and then it's finally time for dinner, and the guy kills himself in the sun. You're like, keep going. It's like a slave driver. Like, whoa. No, it's the idea of pick someone who's struggled already and is coming to the end when you kind of like, okay, I've done enough, and there's still more to do, right? That extra perseverance, that when you would expect a little bit of return for yourself and there's still another. Like, we understand that. Hey, when you have a role that's of service and the job's not done, you gotta finish it. And the Lord invites us to have that perseverance, that stick-to-itiveness, that grit, that love, that power, that self-control to continue on. Brothers and sisters, that's the invitation for us as Christians, right? I want to just quickly, two examples we had this week. One is St. Francis, and we're going to have the Rosary, Feast Day of the Rosary. I think it's on Monday, tomorrow the 7th. two of those are great examples. St. Francis, we always think of him as the meek and humble Francis who loved animals, etc. But he also was strong and had some perseverance. The story of him going to preach to the Sultan, right? The Muslims are invading Europe, right? And he's like, we got to evangelize these people. And what does he do? He marches into the Muslims from Egypt into their camp preaching the gospel right up to the Sultan. They're like, well, we might as well go to the top and preach the gospel to him. Maybe that'll... He wasn't messing around. He was convinced of the gospel and he went right into the enemy camp. Like that's perseverance. And that was in the 1200s. And then we have the Feast of the Rosary with the 1500s. So 300 years, Europe was struggling with integrating. Well, at that stage, they weren't interested in integrating the Muslims, nor probably the Moors interested in being integrated. And there was a clash all throughout Europe, right? The battle for the Christian heart of Europe. And that Battle of Lepanto, which is the feast we celebrate, the rosary, all of Christendom was invited to pray the rosary for this Christian culture, the Christian values, for the gospel to be lived and maintained in the culture of Europe against their adversary, the time of the Muslims, the Moors. They're praying for this battle that happened, right? Or they're praying more for overall for the victory, but it crystallized in a battle, a sea battle. Actually, that painting is in the middle of the Sala Regia, the royal hall in the Vatican, where the Pope received heads of state, like on the wall there. Little message to any head of state who comes to visit the Pope, you know, like, you beat the Moors in 1500, right? So God granted through their prayer a victory. The reason I highlight that, one, we'll celebrate it, I think the key to perseverance is prayer. Key to perseverance is remembering the vision. Write it down. Don't forget. So prayer is so important for us to persevere through challenges. It's the time when you slow down, you connect with the Lord, you're filled with him, and you're remembering and meditating on and reflecting on what God wants, what God's doing, understanding reality through his lens and not through my passions that might want to be rash. That perseverance is a virtue for Christians, that stick-to-itiveness, that grit to continue on in fidelity to the Lord. So whatever circumstance you might be facing and thinking of as you hear these words, that may be the Holy Spirit inviting you. What's your attitude as a Christian as you persevere through that? What are you looking at? What's the vision you have in your heart and mind? Is it revenge? Is it jealousy? Is it, you know, vengeance, violence? Come on, Lord. Or is it, Lord, what do you want to teach me through this? What are you doing? Where are you present here? What should I be loving and keeping my eyes fixed on? What's that spirit of power and self-control and love that I should be cultivating as I go through this circumstance? And ask the Lord for that grace of perseverance in this Mass. Ask for that gift. Ask for that ability. Ask for that power that you already have through baptism and confirmation, that strength. It's already in your soul, but needs unlocked with your mind, your heart, your free will has to say, hey, that's what I want. That's what I choose in this circumstance now. It's the way I allow myself to think. It's the way I allow myself to judge, to speak, to act. It's a grace. It's a gift. It's there, but we need to collaborate with it. So let's pray for that grace and ask the Lord to guide us as we persevere pursuing the good.